This time of the day on a Monday, we chat to travel and digital storyteller Dan Brotman. Dan has traveled to well over 100 and I don't know how many countries. I think it's 180 or something crazy like that. He's on the line and we're going to be chatting about, of all countries, Eritrea this afternoon. Dan, great to have you with me. Eritrea, I doubt
Thanks for
most
having
people,
me here.
Dan, Eritrea is so off the map. I reckon most people don't even know where it is.
Well, it is one of the least visited countries in Africa. Eritrea used to be part of Ethiopia until, I believe, 1991, when it became an independent country. So it's on the Red Sea next to Ethiopia.
Dan, I think I know one thing about Eritrea, and I think it's a picture of a filling station. Apparently, there's an Art Deco filling station. It is renowned by architecture students worldwide. Is that, in fact, the country that I'm talking about, or am I completely off my tree?
No, that is definitely Asmara, the capital. Asmara is actually known to have the second highest density of Art Deco buildings in the world after Miami. And the reason why was that it was from about the, I believe it was 1890 until 1941 or two, Eritrea was an Italian colony. And when Mussolini was, leading Italy, it was a very conservative government. So all of the really creative, out-of-the-box thinking architects couldn't actually build buildings in Italy itself.
Okay.
So they would go to Eritrea to do it in the colonies.
Goodness gracious me, that's absolutely fascinating. Well, that explains the filling station. What got you to Eritrea?
So Eritrea was actually, that was the trip I was on when COVID broke. But actually, right before I tell you about the trip itself, I had a very interesting experience related to Eritrea yesterday evening here in Montreal, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a really nice falafel restaurant that an Israeli friend recommended. And we went to order our food, and my friend was speaking to the Eritreans there in Hebrew. And I was like, fluent Hebrew. And I was a bit shocked because these are not Jewish people. These are not Israelis. Why do they speak fluent Hebrew? And the reason is Eritrea is known as the North Korea of Africa. It's one of the most oppressive countries on the continent. Men are drafted, and I believe women too, into the military for life. So their conscription has no fixed end date. And hundreds of thousands of Eritreans have fled the country, which is highly illegal and difficult to leave. Many of them have wound up in Israel, but Israel doesn't grant refugee status to most people who come from Eritrea. So they live in Israel, but they don't have refugee status. And many of them have been resettled in Canada. And this Israeli friend of mine actually studied at Reichman University in Hebrew in Israel with the Eritrean owner of this restaurant. And the other people working in the restaurant were all fluent Hebrew speakers. They lived in Israel certainly for much longer than probably you and I. But they're not Jewish or Israeli. So that was an interesting Eritrea connection.
It's more than just interesting. Yeah. It's absolutely fascinating. So how, when they spoke about Israel, was it spoken about with an anger, with an resentment, or with an appreciation because it was a place of first refuge? How did they feel about Israel?
As far as I could hear from our conversation, they had very warm feelings towards Israel. I mean, I think Israel probably, they knew that Israel wasn't going to be the end destination.
Okay.
I mean, for the owner of the restaurant, I mean, it gave him a university education. But ultimately, it was a transit point, let's say, until they could get to a country where they could get proper refugee status, which they got here in Canada. But throughout Canada, you'll meet many, many Eritreans who speak fluent Hebrew, who lived in Israel for years, if not decades. And often when they come, they want to, form a bond with the local Jewish community just because, they've become so accustomed to having links with Jewish people from their lives in Israel. So that was just they're always amazed when I tell them that I've been to Eritrea because, as I mentioned, it's a highly, highly repressive country. It was the most, I've gotten visas to countries all over the world. This was the most difficult visa I have ever had to obtain in my life, to the extent that I was personally interviewed by the Eritrean ambassador in Pretoria at the embassy in order to get my visa. very, very few tourists in the country, but Eritrea has a very interesting Jewish history. Mm-hmm. And there's actually only one Jew left in Eritrea. So the Jews started coming to Eritrea in the 1800s.
Yeah.
And they came for trade, because if you look at the map, Eritrea is right across from Aden in Yemen. And Aden, as we know, had a very large and prosperous Jewish community. So some Adeni Jews crossed the Red Sea for trade reasons and set up a Jewish community in Asmara, the capital. What was interesting about the Jewish community in Eritrea, and it basically numbered, I think, around 500 members in the 1950s, so that was the community at its height, is it was quite a diverse community linguistically. So the Adeni Jews were, they were British nationals. They spoke English because they had come from a British colony. And then at the same time, Eritrea was an Italian colony. So you had Jews from places like Italy and Libya who were Italian-speaking, Italian citizens also living there. So it was a multilingual Jewish community. And I actually broke into the Jewish cemetery in Asmara. I mean, it was closed. I hopped the fence, as I usually do.
Yes.
And you can look at the graves. I mean, first of all, some of them are from the 1960s and 70s. But also, yeah, some of them are in Italian, some are in English. And it just really shows how diverse the community was. And even during the, you know, at the lead up to the Holocaust, there were European Jews fleeing Nazi persecution who wound up in the Italian colony of Eritrea. Even though Jews were persecuted in Italy and Europe, the Jews in Eritrea did not face persecution. And basically what happened in 1941 or 42 was the Allies defeated the Italians in Africa. And so the British took over Eritrea. And then in 1952, it became part of Ethiopia. And then Ethiopia formally annexed Eritrea in the early 1960s. And from that point, there was basically a civil war, a war for independence. And Eritrea only got independence in the early 90s. But as the civil war heated up, the Jewish community left. I believe in the 1970s, mid-1970s, there were only about 150 Jews still left in the country. So when I was traveling to Eritrea, they have one of the best preserved synagogues in sub-Saharan Africa. Like, it was basically left the way it was in the 1970s. It is so beautiful in the middle of Asmara. And so I was able to get in contact with Sammy Cohen, who is the only Jew left in the country. He spends part of the year in Italy, part of the year in Eritrea. I believe his family is in Italy. He wasn't in the country when I was there, but I arranged through him to go into Asmara Synagogue. And again, it was really like a time capsule from the 1970s. They have Torah scrolls. It is so well preserved. You look at the plaques and the names in the synagogue, and you can see that it was quite a vibrant community. There are pictures of the community when they had activities. I even went to a nearby block of flats that had a Magen David on it because the owners were Jewish. So Jews were very active in commerce in Eritrea, but they didn't leave because they were expelled. They left because of the civil war. And Sammy Cohen is the last Jew in the country, and you know, he's aging. So, you know, probably within the next several decades, there will be no Jews left in Eritrea. At the time that I was there, Israel had an embassy in Eritrea. I believe it's since closed, but they do have diplomatic relations. But it's just so unexpected in this country that you would find this beautiful synagogue that, you know, was a house of worship for a community of mostly Jews from Yemen and Libya.
It's incredible. And I'm just wondering, who's financing this? I mean, Sammy can't be doing it.
That is a very good question. My assumption would be that Sammy is raising the money from, you know, former Eritrean Jews and their descendants. I'm also not sure if the government, you know, helps with the funding. But it really is very well preserved, and so few Jewish visitors come to Eritrea. So I always, you know, tell people, if you're Jewish or you have an interest in Jewish history and you're going to Eritrea, get in touch with Sammy Cohen, because he can help you get into the synagogue. He might even be in town at the time, and he's always happy to meet with Jewish visitors. But it really is a very, very closed country. You know, people are very careful about saying anything against the government. It's highly, highly repressive. And, you know, anywhere you go in the world where there's a large refugee population, whether it's in Europe or in North America, you're going to meet Eritreans because just so many have fled the country.
Is it Islamic?
It is mixed. So it's partially Christian. It depends what part of the country you're in, but partially Christian, partially Muslim. So it's a mix. But what's, again, for people who, for people who are into Italian history, architecture, the older people there still speak Italian. The architecture in Asmara is Art Deco, extremely Italian. We actually had an art historian on our trip. So it was really incredible to have her take us around and show us these buildings.
And how did you get around?
And also the food is Italian. Sorry.
How did you get around? I would imagine they don't have an infrastructure for tourism. How did you do this? How did you travel? Where did you eat? Where did you stay? Do they have infrastructure for that?
They do. They don't get a lot of tourism. I mean, I went on an organized tour. We were at a hotel. The internet was almost non-existent. It was so slow. So I was really, we were pretty cut off from the world for about a week. But again, when we would go out to eat, their food is so influenced by Italy. I mean, people say that Eritrea has the best Italian food outside of Italy. so either you go to restaurants and it's either, you know, injera bread, like what you would have in Ethiopia,
yes,
or pasta, pizza, espresso,
wow,
gelato. You don't go to too many places that far away from Italy that are so influenced by Italy. It's really Italy and Africa.
Did you worry about your physical safety?
Not at all. It's extremely safe. It's a police state. It's a police state with surveillance everywhere. So it's extremely, extremely safe.
Dan, and just a final question. Did you have any sort of preconceived misconceptions about the place that you were actually surprised when you got there to think, whoa, this is very different?
I would say probably safety. The Horn of Africa is not exactly known as a very safe region to travel in, but Eritrea was extremely safe. I don't think independent, as far at least when I was there, independent travel is not allowed. So if you want to go, you do need to go with a licensed tour company. But if you're going to Ethiopia, it's an amazing country to visit if you tack it onto Ethiopia. And I don't know if you remember this, but Ethiopia and Eritrea, it's almost like the Abraham Accords. They established relations, I think it was a year or two before my visit. So I took a direct flight, which is unheard of, between Addis and Asmara. It was only like an hour and a half flight. And those flights did not exist because they had a civil war and Ethiopia had conquered and colonized them for many, many decades. But now they have peace.
Dan, you have had the most fascinating life. Thank you for chatting to me today. That was absolutely fascinating. Eritrea, of all places.